are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Over breakfast this morning, I shared with my husband Steve that today I would write a little sermon of sorts on equanimity. Equanimity, that's evenness of mind, especially under stress. We each paused as the words sank in, then burst out laughing. Well, maybe in writing about it you'll find some, Steve joked, sort of. It's been a rough year to be a teacher and a parent and a citizen of this country. Frankly, it's been a rough year to be a human on planet Earth, and maintaining any sort of evenness of mind has been a daily struggle for me. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that it has been for you, too. Equanimity is a word I've always associated more with Buddhism than with Christianity. In my Buddhism curious phase several years ago, I learned that Buddhists consider equanimity one of the four sublime states, along with loving kindness, compassion, and sympathetic joy. Practitioners of Buddhism are encouraged to cultivate those ways of being because the result is right thought and right action toward all living beings. I loved the plain-spoken simplicity of that wisdom. If I learned to model equanimity in the face of adversity, that peace would positively affect those around me. It was a message I also received in my yoga practice. Yoke breath with movement, become a dispassionate observer of your thoughts and feelings, and you can take that calm acceptance off the mat and into a hurting world. Loving kindness, compassion, even sympathetic joy, rejoice with those who rejoice, as Paul instructs in the book of Romans, are all sublime states that find expression in Christianity. So why wasn't equanimity a central tenet of my own faith tradition? Maybe I'd be better at it if it held a more central place in Christian theology, I thought, as I watched myself invent creative insults to shout at rude drivers, lost my cool with my kids, and felt my heart rate escalate in response to every moment of conflict or uncertainty at work. Well, turns out I can't blame a hole in Christian teaching for my difficulties achieving this particular sublime state. I've since figured out that it's a concept we can see in action all over the Bible. It's just that we have different ways of talking about this quality of non-reactivity. Christians tend to use terms like inner peace, acceptance, and steadfastness instead. It's true, equanimity doesn't show up on a short list of sublime Christian mindsets, but if we're looking to Jesus as a model for living, it's hard to miss the message that it's one we should cultivate. Take, for instance, the story of Jesus calming the storm, which, by the way, you can find in not one, not two, but three of the Gospels of the New Testament. I guess it's one we're supposed to take note of. In it, Jesus and his disciples are sailing across the Sea of Galilee when a vicious storm hits. The disciples freak out, totally panic, thinking they're going to drown. And meanwhile, Jesus is taking a siesta. So at this point, the disciples are the don't picture in the do's and don'ts of equanimity instructions manual. They scream at Jesus, asking him how on earth he can sleep at a moment such as this. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then we read, "He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?'" One takeaway is that this is a simple miracle story. Well, as simple as a miracle can ever be. Meant as further proof that Jesus is who he says he is. And I would argue it is indeed that. But this story isn't just about Jesus. It's about the disciples and their undisciplined, unequanimous reaction to an unexpected, terrifying situation, even when they should have known that Jesus had their backs. If they had possessed real faith in the power of God working through Jesus, they could have shown the same kind of equanimity that Jesus did in those moments of terror. But But what about those storms that leave behind real and irreparable damage? I'm thinking these days of healthcare professionals in parts of the world most devastated by the coronavirus. Even doctors and nurses who possess great faith in God are witnessing death and horrible suffering every day. No obvious miracle is at hand to prevent it. Paul, in his letter to his beloved community at Philippi, provides us with some insight into how we're to approach with equanimity even these no-win situations. He instructs the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Let me stop there for a minute. Always, as in no matter what, come what may. He continues, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So what Paul is saying is not that if we put our faith in God and live with a joyful heart, we'll sail on calm seas our whole lives. He's saying that if we live that way, we'll be gifted with equanimity, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, no matter what we have to deal with. A few verses later, Paul makes clear that he knows what he's talking about through personal experience. He tells them, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength." Equanimity, then, is accepting things as they are, not out of a sense of hopelessness or defeat or apathy, but out of a deep understanding that God holds it all in the palm of her hand and holds us too, whether we're joyful, grieving, bored, excited, ecstatic, or depressed. All of those emotions and reactions pass away. Clinging to them, even the ones that feel good, creates suffering. God alone is unchanging, which sounds like a pretty good Presbyterian Buddhist mantra. Please pray with me. Eternal God, impress upon our hearts the secret to being content in any and every situation, acknowledging and believing that only you are unchanging and eternal, and that we can rest easy in your divine being, no matter the storms that rage. Amen.